Hi, you're listening to Talk the Rock. Today we have a couple of employees, staff members from the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. We have Rebecca Shields, who is the executive director, and we have Beth Davis, who is the outreach coordinator. And today we're going to be talking about just the organization, the holidays, some other things related to what you guys do. Can one of you explain what KWRCC does in town here?
So the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center is a 25-bed shelter. Our mission is to serve victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and we also do outreach and education into the community and coordinate a first response team in dealing with crimes of domestic violence and sexual assault on Kodiak. So we do a little bit of everything. We're also a resource center, so people, if they're just in a state of crisis or have needs, need to know how to get connected to services in the community, we also do a bit of that.
And we were chatting a bit before the holiday, and you were saying that you were one of the, well, there are only two shelters in town, right? And you guys provide a space for families, which basically means women and their children.
Correct. Correct. There's the Brother Francis shelter, who is specifically homeless intervention, and the Women's Resource Center is a shelter for women and children fleeing from domestic violence. But you're right, we serve the families. And we have the same services for men. So men who are in crisis, we don't have the room or the setup available to stay in that building. But we do work with safe homes and have ways to do all of the same services for men as well.
Yeah, and there's much more attention as the years go on care for men who are abused. And that happens a lot more frequently than people would assume.
Correct.
And could you guys give a short history about KWRCC in Kodiak? Because, I mean, for as long as I've been here, it's a very short time, you guys have been here, but you didn't just pop out of nowhere.
Right. Actually, the Women's Resource Center has been alive since about 1978, when it started out as a group of about 12 people that were starting a discussion group, and they were just kind of trying to identify how to help people in crisis situations, and particularly trying to address some of the particular needs of women in this community. And out of that came our 24-hour crisis line. And then in 1982, the city gave us our building gave us a capital grant so that we could create our building, and that's over on Hillside. And in 1985, we opened up the shelter portion, and it started out as a 14-bed shelter, and now we have two buildings, one that is dedicated to the shelter and the other that is dedicated to outreach and education services in the community, and we are now a 25-bed shelter, so we've grown quite a bit.
Do you find that you have a lot of residents cycling in and out, or do they tend to stay for an extended period of time?
Both. We really work very hard to meet the needs of people where they are at, and so every case is very unique. So we have some people that come and they're just there for a very short period of time to kind of take a break. If they just need a little bit of time to cool down or to cool off and be safe. And then there are other people that are there for sometimes up to close to a year. So really depending on the individual needs of the family is, especially now that we have more bed space available, we're able to be much more flexible with that.
And you mentioned to me once upon a time that one of the reasons someone would want to stay at the shelter is because there's a whole set of security measures that you guys have in place.
Right. It is a very safe place. So when you're dealing with people that are seeking safety from domestic violence, it's really important to have that consideration. We have It's set up with bulletproof doors. We have a great alarm system. We have a terrific working relationship with the police department. We have security cameras all around, and we have trained staff and people that know how to safety plan and be aware of our surroundings. And so it is a very safe environment for people that have safety issues, that they can come and be safe. And sometimes when you go to family members or to a hotel, you don't have that added security or added safety. So I think that it's a incredibly good resource for people that are needing to have a safe environment.
So Rebecca, you're executive director, and I feel like I could imagine what you do, but what would you say that you spend a lot of your daily schedule doing?
Oh, wow. One of the reasons why I love my job so much is that it's always different. Every day is new. But of course, being an executive director, my first responsibility is the administration and making sure that our funding is in place and that all of the requirements and things are met, and so that we can legally do what we do and safely do what we do. So that's, of course, the paperwork part of my job. And then just being there for the clients and assisting and helping the staff members do what they do, give them everything that they need. And then the community collaborations. Now I think that Kodiak has changed quite a bit. We used to work a lot in silos. You know, everyone did their own thing. Every agency had a set of services and did their own thing. And now I think, especially in Kodiak, we've really come out of those silos and we work very well together. So we have built a lot of collaborative efforts with the police department, with OCS, with the district attorney's office and the courthouse and the schools and you know, all of the different places around the community, so that we can give much more of a holistic approach to families.
So outreaching, right? Is that something that you do, Beth?
I was waiting. Yeah, so outreaching, basically reaching out to the community, not only with, like, can you help us, please, which we've done a lot this holidays, these Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we're so grateful. Kodiak is incredible in responding to the need, not just for us, but anyone in the community. I mean, we've seen a lot of and read a lot of good stories over these holidays of people in the community who've either their homes burnt, or they've had trauma in their homes, or someone's come down with cancer or sickness, and Kodiak just rallies around it. So my role is to rally the community around the individuals that come through our doors in order to help them move forward in their lives, but also to educate the community as to what domestic violence looks like, what is sexual assault, why does it happen, how does it happen, what does a healthy relationship look like? And most people know these things, but sometimes it really helps to have a conversation in a group format, whether it's a support group or doing a presentation or being invited to an event where we're asked the questions, what is really happening out there? What does this look like, and how can we help prevent it? So it's not just only prevention, but it's supporting people and educating people who are actually going through it too. Even the clients themselves are going through it. You know, in coming away from it and being in a place where they can think about it, there's a lot more thought that they can follow through with all the way to the end without it being interrupted by violence of any kind. They can actually sit still and, you know, not be walking on eggshells for long enough to be able to think through what is actually going on in their home and how can they actually move out of that situation or make it better. Whether they want to stay there, how do they stay well? If they want to leave, how do they leave well? So that is part of our role in that too.
And before the holiday, before Christmas, we were speaking a little bit about how the holidays can affect abuse in the household, or if people mm-hmm. are experiencing abuse or violence in their families. And you had mentioned, Rebecca, that the holidays don't necessarily spark abuse, but they may exacerbate it.
Correct. Yeah. Definitely, we find that the people that have or suffer from domestic violence in their living situations, it's the same all year round. So it's not created by any one thing, such as the holidays or stress, or but it can greatly be exacerbated, and a bad situation can become worse. So for those that have, you know, that have learned that violence is a way to deal with the stress in their lives or with things that are happening, and that can intensify, and families can go into a time of crisis, intense crisis, and it can also just make people a lot more down or focused on what's happening in their families, and bring them just to a place of personal crisis.
And depression.
And depression.
Mm-hmm. Right. Holidays, they can be a stressful time for many people.
And in Kodiak, where we, you know, where it's not much light. Having said that, today is absolutely gorgeous. Boxing Day. Yay. so I just had to put that out there. But yes, usually the work slows down in the fishing industries and in the canneries. People are at home more. Kids are off school. Too cold to go outside and play. So there's a lot more puzzle pieces that come together to create that whole finished piece of this is where it kind of blows up or gets worse with all those factors in place.
Right. I mean, while it's beautiful today, it's beautiful for like a few hours in the middle of the day where people are working in most standard 9-to-5 jobs, and then you leave and you go to work in the dark, and that can be a bit challenging.
Sure can.
Yeah.
For people who are not even suffering.
Right.
Anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be challenging for even healthy families. But for families that have these particular issues, it can certainly bring those issues to the surface.
Do you have any ideas for any coping mechanisms or self-care tips?
You're looking at me, Becky.
I
am. self-care, well... For me, when I was overwhelmed with kids, I'd go lock myself in the bathroom for a few minutes, take my chocolate with me. That was my self-care fix, you know, and also reaching out to others and letting them know, hey, can we talk? You know, just especially for the women or the people that are in a relationship orientated, just being able to talk to someone as part of self-care or maybe going to bed that extra hour earlier, just to give your body some time to rest if you can, or trying to incorporate eating right somewhere during the craziness of holiday eating, you know, drinking lots of water, getting out in the sunshine, bringing in lamps, these great sun lamps that they have, and sitting underneath that for a few minutes during the day. Journaling is another way, you know, having a bath, candles, going out chopping wood, going out for walks with the whole family, you know, getting outdoors and seeing, getting everyone out of the house for even a couple hours is helpful too.
I like to go for a bike ride if I can. This would be a perfect day, as long as it's not too frosty or icy out. So for me, a little bit of exercise or a walk. I think that's pretty common around here. Maybe not the biking. But the walking, I think, a lot of
Get out on the trails. I was out on the trails this morning, and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, like sneak away. I have a family friend who takes a lunch walk. Yeah. She'll go up Pillar. She'll take a lunch walk.
And those people go and adopt a pet for the day and take the dog and themselves out for a walk, which you can do. You can go to the animal shelter, and you can sign out a dog. Of course, you got to fill out some paperwork. But if that's something you would like to do, there'd be, you know, a mutual benefit. The dog would get some exercise and you would too, and you'd have companionship.
And if you can't fit in evening exercise, you could always do it before work if you have the time. I mean, I have some friends who like to do it that way, like get it all over with in the beginning and then have a nice start to the day. Yeah. And so you talked a little bit about how Christmas, what you had planned for some of the residents for Christmas. How'd Christmas go? How'd the holiday go?
That holiday, all that kept us really busy. My office turned into Santa's fairyland or elf land, and just boxes and gifts, and it was great. I enjoyed that part. But it was amazing how many people needed help this Christmas, and we served over 40 people, and 40 people means 40 families. But of those 40 people, over 100 kids were in those 40 families that we were able to have the community either adopt them in families or adopt the families singularly, like maybe just one kid. But it, you know, from whether it's successful or not, well, numbers-wise, yes. And I hope it brought a lot of cheer to a lot of families that they actually had gifts that were wrapped and picked out especially for them by caring individuals that they never met before. That makes it really special. We also had a lot over 20 food boxes that were put together by the community members as well that we were able to deliver or have picked up. And Thanksgiving, the same. We had over 21 families that were able to pick up food boxes put together by members in the community as well. So we just thank you so much. It just makes our job sweeter in knowing that we have a community that work well together at times like this.
I have always been so amazed by how giving Kodiak is. I mean, all of the time that I've worked at KWRCC, which is 26 years, every year, no matter what's going on in town in terms of good times or bad times, people really come out and they help out people.
And so we just have a few minutes left, I believe, just a couple. And so do you guys have any ongoing needs that you would like to have met in any way that the community can help out?
Well, we have a wish list that is available on our website, and we'd be happy to bring a copy of the wish list so you can actually put it up in your office or where you work, so they'd just be reminded of daily things like even like toilet paper, paper towels, toothpaste, deodorant, shampoos, body wash, toothbrushes. Did I say that already?
Cleaning supplies,
especially
non-perishable food.
Yeah, we go through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. People usually don't bring the food to the shelters because they don't usually have the money for it. So any food that is donated, you know, warm cookies. Someone brought a plate of warm cookies yesterday. Oh, it was so heartwarming. Christmas Day, and someone brought us a plate of cookies. It was just really nice. But that wish list, we can get to you or give us a call, and we can email that to you. But that is a year-round wish list.
All right. Rebecca Shields and Beth Davis from KWRCC, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.